Welcome to this special Memorial Day broadcast of Minnesota Military Radio. It's brought to you in part by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Federal Premium Ammunition. My name is Doug Wortham, and my co-host for today's show is the founding host of Minnesota Military Radio, Mr. Tom Lyons. And we also have our special in-studio guest, the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Mr. Brad Lindsay. And Commissioner, welcome, and thanks for joining us here on this special Memorial Day broadcast.
Thanks for having me, Doug, Tom. Good to be here.
Good to have you here. It's, a great day to get together. We had the chaplain on as a special in-studio guest last hour. We had the opportunity to speak to Butch Whitehead from the DAV and, of course, General John Jensen and, just some great messages all around about Memorial Day and really why we celebrate this day, why do we honor this day? And I thought I'd maybe, start off with asking you that question as well. Why do we honor this day?
Yeah. Well, it's primarily to honor those who have died in service to the country, particularly those who have died in a war or conflict, but all veterans who have passed. The difference being with Veterans Day, that's more to salute those who are still alive for their service, wartime, peacetime, living, dead. I read a good thing the other day. Our friend Trent Dilks from the DAV, he put a little thing on social media the other day. Some people get chastised for celebrating, I'll say with finger quotes, Memorial Day, but, he talked about how his buddies, and I think our buddies too, have passed, wouldn't chastise anyone for that because they would be right there beside us having some barbecue and some beer also, because it's really about remembering.
Yeah,
it's about remembering.
And I think we can still honor and remember while we celebrate, right?
Absolutely. That's a great way to honor them. It's I was thinking in the movie, I think it's Hamburger Hill at the end, where it talks about there's the sign on the post that just says, as long as you remember them and the places you go to take a look back for the places they can no longer go.
Yeah. I had mentioned this on the last hour. I had the opportunity to interview one of your cemetery administrators, Rob Gross from Preston. Mm-hmm. And he talked about, veterans or service members, having the opportunity to die twice. Obviously, once in their physical death and the second when we forget to remember who they are.
Right.
And so I think celebrating is a great way to remember those.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree.
Commissioner,
they would have wanted it.
Absolutely.
We don't ask you this very often, but you served. You're a veteran.
I am, yes.
And maybe you could explain when and where you served. And is there someone special you think of on Memorial Day?
So I served in the regular Army for 4 years, between 88 and 92. And I served in operations in Panama during that time. And then I was deployed to Jordan as well. And then I got out and I was in the reserves for just about 10 years, the Army Reserve, and was called up for Kosovo operations, but was lucky and got sent to backfill in Germany instead, which, not a bad deployment if you can get it. And then
I think I saw a photo on Facebook of you down in Panama doing something.
Yeah, that was unusual. One of my friends, my regular Army buddies, who didn't go with us, had kept a Fort Carson newspaper called The Mountaineer, and had a picture of me jumping over a large water pipe near the canal down there, going to secure a ridgeline. I was a 60 gunner back in the days when we had 60s. And so it's always interesting to see a picture of yourself that you've never seen 35 years later like that.
Not necessarily the best view, right?
No. It was, yep. Couldn't tell who it was by my face. I was turned away from the camera.
But so there's deniability there.
Yeah, there is.
And you were an MP as well.
I was, yes. I spent my entire career as a military police. I wouldn't want to have done anything else.
Yeah. I was an MP, as you know, as mm-hmm. well, and in the whole motivation. I didn't go on active duty. I joined the Minnesota National Guard right out the gate, and the whole reason why I joined to be an MP is I kind of want to be in law enforcement, but at that time I'm like, God, it's still kind of a dangerous job and they don't get paid a lot of money. So I think I'm going to go and do something different, but at least I'm able to do that in my, what they used to call it, 1 week in a month and 2 weeks a year.
Same. That was kind of my experience, you know, at Fort Carson. When we weren't deployed, we generally were doing law enforcement, and after a couple of years of that, I decided, I'm not going to do this as a civilian when I get out. Really no desire for it anymore. But
did you ever get to say or use the line on anybody, don't confuse your rank with my authority? Did you ever get to do that?
We said that a lot, but we didn't usually say that to anyone who had that rank. We do a little more behind the scenes, behind
like,
their
like,
back.
Sir, yes, sir, but yeah, I have to do my job.
Well, and I'll tell you, I literally started my military career as an E1. So I was out on the road working law enforcement with nothing on my collar whatsoever, which at 18 years old, which always invited challenges from anyone E2 and above.
Of course. Secret, you're a secret agent. Right. Couldn't tell them you're right.
Well, you know, Commissioner, we can sit here and we can tell war stories. We had this conversation last hour too about some of the military stories. It might be stretched a little bit.
A little bit. A little bit.
I think we should bring it back. And we'll talk a little bit here about Memorial Day. Mm-hmm. And I had already mentioned the state veteran cemeteries. There are four locations. Mm-hmm. And can you just tell us a little bit about, you know, how many interments have there been? Any idea? And, you know, really just a little info on our cemeteries?
Yeah. So like you said, we have four, the oldest cemetery being Little Falls and having the most interments, of course, because of that. It opened in 94. But we also have Preston being our second oldest, and Duluth, our third oldest, and then Redwood Falls, which just opened here a couple summers ago, operating in the state. And altogether, it's over 10,000 veterans and spouses who are buried in those four state veteran cemeteries. So they do a terrific job. Yesterday, they hold their Memorial Day events on the Sunday before Memorial Day to try to maximize the number of people who are available to go, because a lot of folks in civilian jobs don't necessarily have Memorial Day off. So that's what we were doing in the cemeteries yesterday. And this year, I traveled up to Duluth to participate in their event.
Now, you do a lot of traveling as the commissioner, obviously, of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And, you know, it was we got the four cemeteries, the three new homes that opened up last year as well. What's it like out there as you're traveling around and you're seeing and interacting with, you know, people who don't report directly to you, but at the end of the day, right? I mean, they work for you and our state, of course, but what's it like interacting with these people who are doing great things, taking care of our veterans?
I tell you, it's always amazing. You know, you think most folks are just doing their job in whatever, you know, our eight state veterans homes, our four state veteran cemeteries, and then we've got folks all over in the VA hospitals and outreach and tribal veteran service officers. And you kind of think that's, you know, what they do. But like yesterday up in Duluth, two of the members of the Patriot Guard came up and started talking to me. And turns out the one was a nurse at Silver Bay, and the other one, her husband, was a certified nurse's aide at Silver Bay. So not only do they take care of our veterans, you know, 40 hours a week and probably some overtime on that too, but then they take their own time to participate in these other events to celebrate our veterans as well and to support our veterans as well in our other locations. So it's amazing what the staff do and how much they care about our veterans and their families.
And I want to make sure that, because we're going to bring in a couple of other guests here in this hour, and I do want to make sure I get you the opportunity in case we run out of time if someone else goes long. Are you hiring right now at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs?
We are always hiring. Yes, absolutely. So especially, as you said, our three newest veterans homes in Preston, Montevideo, and Bemidji, we're trying to get them up to their full census so that we're not sitting with empty beds and veterans on a waiting list. And in order to get there, we've got to have the staff to be able to take care of those veterans. So that's been a post-COVID has been kind of a challenge to get healthcare folks hired in and get them started, but we're pulling out all the stops, including wheel train positions. We'll train you as a certified nurse's assistant.
Awesome. So, Commissioner, just to clarify, if you don't have enough people, they won't let you fill those beds.
Exactly. And like I said, veterans will sit on our waiting list and so, unfortunately pass.
So where do they go to apply for jobs quickly?
Best place you can find it is right on our website. So go to MinnesotaVeteran.org. It'll lead you into the state's employment website, and you can apply there online.
Thank you, Commissioner. We have to take a break. This special Memorial Day broadcast of Minnesota Military Radio is brought to you in part by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Federal Premium Ammo. You can find more information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.
Good morning.
Welcome to this special Memorial Day broadcast of Minnesota Military Radio, brought to you in part by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Federal Premium Ammunition. We've got my co-host today, Mr. Tom Lyons, in the studio, and our special in-studio guest is the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And calling in, joining us for this segment, is the Director of the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Director Pat Kelly. Director, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Doug, it's an honor, you know, and to have Tom in the studio and the commissioner, really, really a treat to be able to be on the show this morning. So thanks for having me.
Good morning, Commissioner. This is Tom. The audience may not be aware, but I know that you had a full career in the United States Navy, taking care of health care for our sailors, and you've been out at the Minneapolis VA for not sure how many years. Was it about 8 or 9 years now, sir?
Believe it or not, Tom, it's been 12.
12.
28 years in the Navy, 12 years at the Minneapolis VA.
Boy, time flies.
Should know that. I think you've been joining us on the show for 10 years or so, and it's a pleasure to have you on the show, sir.
Thanks, Tom.
My first question for you today is that long career in the Navy, and you're still taking care of our veterans out at the Minneapolis VA, and I'm one of them, and your people do a great job, but is there anything or any person, anything special you think about on Memorial Day, something that you want to remember?
You know, every Memorial Day I go to the Fort Snelling National Cemetery. That's just an unbelievable event. And so, you know, and today there's going to be sunshine. You know, it's a great day to pay tribute. And so, you know, I spend some time reflecting on the many, many service members who are buried there, who sacrificed their lives in the line of duty. And I also, over the years, have used this as an opportunity to get down to my hometown of Mankato, and really, as I did yesterday, and to get down to my mom and dad's gravesite and just really reflect not only on those who have sacrificed and died in service to their country, but just sort of more broadly for those who've been laid to rest. And really a terrific weekend for me, and really the highlight is this great event at Fort Snelling National Cemetery this morning.
Director, I was out there yesterday visiting some loved ones that reside there now, and there were a lot of volunteers putting up flags everywhere, and even yesterday, a lot of families out there. It was a busy place. With this beautiful day, it should just be breathtaking today.
Yeah, I remember last year, I was actually speaking last year, and I remember at the podium the rain falling and mucking up the words on my speech so I could hardly see what was going on. And so it's over the years, you know, it's been sort of a hit and miss, but today's going to be beautiful. So I'm really looking forward to this morning.
The Lord was challenging you last year, Director, and you made it through anyway. Good work, sir.
Thanks, Tom.
And you'll be heading out there later today, and of course it's going to be just a beautiful day, as Tom said, so looking forward to that. Director, before we do run out of time here, I do want to make sure that we give you an opportunity to talk a little bit about or remind us about the Veterans Legacy Memorial website and what that's all about.
Yeah, thanks, Doug. So, you know, the VA really encourages not just veterans, but all Americans, but especially family members and friends of deceased veterans and service members to honor a veteran through what is referred to as the Veterans Legacy Memorial website, VLM for short. And it's the way that the National Cemeteries Administration uses modern technology to keep alive the legacies of veterans laid to rest in national cemeteries. So you can access this online at va.gov/remember. Again, that's va.gov/remember. And you can actually look up a veteran's page, an individual veteran's page, and then post a brief comment saluting that veteran's service. And there's nearly 10 million veterans who are memorialized with an individual page on this Veterans Legacy Memorial And it's just another good way to remember veterans and service members and to pay tribute. So VLM, it's at va.gov/remember. I think it'd be worth checking out.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Pat, this is Brad. I know new president means new secretary. Oftentimes, it's just the same with governor and new commissioner. So VA Secretary Doug Collins, I know he visited the Minneapolis VA Medical Center as well as Fort Snelling Cemetery and the VBA administration there at St. Paul this month because you guys were nice enough to invite me. I was just wondering if you had any takeaways from that visit you'd like to share with us.
Yeah. First of all, good morning, Commissioners.
Good morning.
Nice to speak with you. So lucky enough to have him spend a couple hours with us earlier in the week. And again, I know you were part of that leadership discussion. And what we witnessed or what we were able to observe is that, you know, he is very much focused on serving veterans first. That's his mantra, you know, veterans first. Looking at ways that we can create efficiencies while at the same time increasing or improving services and benefits to veterans. And so, you know, again, lot of discussion about, reduction in the federal workforce and what that means and, you know, a fair amount of concern amongst our staff and veterans, you know, about what that means. But, you know, the secretary spoke a lot about standardization amongst the 170 VA medical centers and ensuring that, you know, veterans are getting a similar or the same service no matter where they get their health care. And that would include community health care. So again, he thinks of community health care as an extension of VA health care. So you put it all together and you're able to improve services to veterans, create efficiencies, cut away the red tape, and really meet the needs of veterans in the area of healthcare and benefits. So it was a good visit. I was happy that he visited us, and it was a good chance for us to get to know him a little.
Well, thanks for that, Pat. You know, I know it's always an uncertain time when you get in a new secretary, a new administration. But, you know, I think I said in the leader meeting there, what a great job that you all do and how I feel Minnesota, our VA partners in Minnesota, our VA hospitals are just above and beyond and outstanding places to go. That's where I go for my health care. I think I've been there twice in the last month and nothing but excellent care. So thank you for that and for continuing that.
So that's important for him to hear that. I mean, again, you are veterans of the state of Minnesota, are our customers, and so it was important for him to hear from you that you're satisfied with what you're getting. And, you know, we can always do better. But again, I think we have a lot to be proud of, and we have great partners like you and like MACV and like many, many others in our state, military radio, who help us to get that done. But it was, on balance, it was a good visit. I was really happy you were able to be there as part of that.
Absolutely. Director, we have less than a minute here, and I just wanted to give you an opportunity if you might be able to just kind of give us a recap of some of those things that you're doing to bring this extended specialty care out to our community-based outpatient clinics.
Yeah, thanks for the chance, Doug. So, you know, what veterans will tell you, I'm sure your listeners will tell you, is that distance can be a tyranny in trying to get health care when you're distant from the location where you're trying to get that care. So we have 14 community-based clinics around the state and in western Wisconsin. And one of the things we have done this year in pretty large numbers is that we have moved some specialty medicine and surgery services into our C-box in order that veterans don't have to drive to Minneapolis to get that type of care. And so that's different and unique. We've always done primary care, always done mental health care, done a lot of telehealth. But now we're moving some of those services that were previously only available in Minneapolis at the medical center out into our community-based clinics so veterans can get what they need where they live and don't have to make that drive.
Thank you, Director Kelly. Appreciate you taking some time this morning to join us on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, gentlemen.
This special Memorial Day broadcast, the Minnesota Military Radio, is brought to you in part by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Federal Premium Ammunition. You can find more information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.
Good morning.
Welcome to this special Memorial Day broadcast of the Minnesota Military Radio. It's brought to you in part by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Federal Premium Ammunition. My name's Doug Wortham. I've got Tom Lyons, our founding co-host here of Minnesota Military Radio, along with the commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Brad Lindsay, and calling in right now, representing Minnesota's 6th District is Congressman Tom Emmer, also the Majority Whip. Congressman, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Wow, great to be with you guys, Doug. On a wonderful day, beautiful day to remember some amazing people.
Yeah, it is a beautiful day, and we appreciate you and your dedication to continue to call in and have a conversation with us on this very special and important day as we remember those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice. And as you know very well, Mr. Lyons, you guys have known each other for quite a few years, and as we were putting the show together and talking about who we're going to have for guests, he said, we got to have Mr. Emmer, and oh, by the way, I want to have a good conversation with him and kind of lead this thing out. And so, Mr. Lyons, I'm going to turn it over to you, and you're going to help us get some info out of Congressman Emmer.
Morning, Tom. We're sitting in the studio that you're familiar with. This is our 15th Memorial Day special show of Minnesota Military Radio. I met you, and you were here when we started this all. Can't believe all those years went by.
I'm with you, Tom. And those silver pipes of Tommy Lyons just keep on humming.
Silver pipes? I've never heard it called that before.
That must be the persuasion you use as Majority Whip that's so effective out there.
Hey, Thomas, they were once golden. Now they're silver. That's the way it works.
Well, as we get older, things change and go down in value a little bit. Tom, as we start our discussion of Memorial Day, I know you have family serving, and I know you have special thoughts of things and people you remember on Memorial Day.
I do, and I mean, like all families, we've got John Emmer Jr. Died off of Papua New Guinea in World War II. His bomber that he was in, I think it was a B-17, was shot down. So it's everybody in this country has a story, Tom. And we got to remember the people who made the ultimate sacrifice. And maybe more importantly, we got to remember their families, because that's what we're talking about today. It's not just those that serve and those that made that ultimate sacrifice. It's their families who every year, I think every day, think about their loved ones that they lost in whatever the battle was.
And Tom, it's great for our population that we have a 3-day holiday, and there's a lot of barbecues and everything going on. But at 3 o'clock this afternoon, we want to do something called a moment of remembrance. Stop whatever you're doing, gather your family around, and just say, "What a great country! But we're here because of those who served and died."
No, that's right. Everybody talks about the celebration of Memorial Day. It's kind of a solemn occasion. If you take time to get down on your knees and pray for these people and their families, you think about Pearl Harbor and everybody who lost their lives there. You think about we celebrated the 80th anniversary of the invasion in Normandy last June, a year ago. Tom, it's it is a very important holiday, I guess we call it that, because we're celebrating the ultimate sacrifice, but it's a very solemn occasion.
Tom, we've got about 7 minutes or so, and I know you've got a few topics. Number one, you're working on helping veterans' families that are struggling to get their veterans' death certificates. What's going on with that, Tom?
You know, it's like everything else in our federal government. We really have to move into the 21st century, Tom. It's efficiencies. It's getting rid of some of the some of the excess that, frankly, is creating a problem. I've been working on this for a while. For years, Minnesota military families have struggled with delays from the Department of Veterans Affairs in signing veteran death certificates, Tom. The delays in obtaining death certificates, which can take up to 8 weeks, only exacerbate the hardships families face after losing a relative. And the key here is that veterans cannot be buried until their death certificate is signed. We've been working on this for several years since I've been in Congress. Our casework team has advocated for many Minnesota military families experiencing delays in obtaining their veterans' death certificate. In fact, if you go back we had an inquiry to the Veterans Health Administration on November 14th of 2022 regarding a veteran who passed away on October 21st of 2022, right? Almost a month earlier. We were informed back then that we might not receive a response until early December. I mean, think about that, Tom. In the interim, the family is forced to pay costly fees to ensure the body of a deceased veteran is properly maintained. So we're doing it again. We're going to try and get this thing fixed. We sent a letter to the chairman of the Military Affairs Subcommittee on Appropriations, John Carter from Texas, and ranking member Debbie Wasserman Schultz from Florida, to try and we need a report that tells us, gives us solutions to ensure the veterans, their families, more importantly, receive the deceased veteran's death certificate in a timely fashion. And it shouldn't be a big problem in this day and age, Tom, where you and I can literally watch a something we buy at the point of purchase through the chain of delivery in real time. We should be able to do this.
Tom, that's got to be fixed. I'm glad you're on it. We've got Commissioner Brad Lindsay in the studio today, and he's got a quick question for you.
Thank you, Tom. Representative Emmer, good morning. Good morning. So I was fortunate to participate here a couple weeks ago. VA Secretary Doug Collins visited here at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center is where I met with him. But I was just wondering if you had any thoughts on his ideas or his direction for improving the VA into the future.
Well, Brad, you know, and I obviously my friendship with Tom Lyons, I know. When it comes to our veterans, we're not talking about Republicans and Democrats. We're talking about Americans. Doug Collins is the right guy at the right time for the VA. He came here, as you point out, a couple weeks back for other things that he was doing, but the primary reason he came was to visit the Minneapolis VA. What I've heard after his visit is that very impressed. The Minneapolis VA hospital is truly life-changing and has some of the best care our country has to offer. So it's not just Minneapolis, but it's St. Cloud, which is in my district, as you know. But I think Doug's charge is to take the politics out of the VA and literally try to get the VA working in a more efficient, more timely manner for veterans who are trying to access care and, frankly, who are trying to obtain documentation of their service, which is necessary, as you know, for themselves and their families sometimes for their benefits. So I think, I think Doug Collins from Georgia is the right guy at the right time.
Well, we wish him the best. Thank you for that, Mr. Representative.
Very good, Tom. You remember live radio. We've got just under three minutes left, and I know you wanted to talk about oversight of the Osprey aircraft program.
Yeah, I'm kind of upset about this one. We got to have accountability in the system. And, the Osprey, and hopefully people know what I'm talking about, entered service more than 20 years ago. Do you realize that Osprey crashes have taken the lives of over 60 service members and caused more than 90 injuries to military personnel? And the one that really set me off on this path, Tom, was November 2023. A CV-22 Osprey aircraft crashed off the coast of Japan during a training exercise, resulting in the death of 8 American airmen. One of those airmen was U.S. Air Force Major Jeffrey Horniman of Andover, Minnesota. He was one of our constituents. In fact, we honored him on the House floor. But it's more important to get accountability for Major Horniman and others and their families. We have been working with the leadership of the Appropriations Subcommittee on Defense, urging them to include report language on oversight of Osprey aircraft crashes in the fiscal year 2026 Defense Appropriations Bill. The language requires the Secretary of Defense to submit a report to the House and Senate Appropriations Committees on Defense, including the results of any safety investigation pertaining to any crash of a CV-22 Osprey since the aircraft came into service and any other mishap involving the failure of the single high-speed planetary pinion gear, which that's a little in the weeds, Tom, but you got these gearboxes on the side sides of the each side of the Osprey that literally allow the blades to move in the unique fashion that they do. And when they start to shear off the teeth on those gears, that's what happens. It will seize up the box, and of course, then the aircraft is no longer going to fly, and that results in the crashes. To assign responsibility to pilots is, I think, inappropriate. I think we've got to look at the actual aircraft, because these pilots are incredibly skilled. And when an aircraft decides that, or when its defect decides to manifest itself, is not their responsibility, and they shouldn't be the ones that are being blamed for it. It should be the manufacturer, and it should be the our military. So,
Tom, I'm glad you're on that. We're out of time. I know how busy you are as Majority Whip. Hope you're taking care of yourself, and please don't forget our veterans.
Not going to, Tom. God bless you guys. God bless this great country and everyone and their families who have made the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom.
Thank you, Congressman Tom Emmer, for joining us today. Doug?
Yeah, perfect. Thanks, Congressman. So we only have a minute and a half here, Commissioner, and I just wanted to give a final word to you. You were up in Duluth, you had mentioned, and there's a reason why you went there. And I thought maybe you could just share a little bit about that.
Right. Yeah, thanks. So, you know, when I became commissioner, I you know, knew I'd be going around to our different facilities, giving our speeches. And so trying to figure out how to pick them. My first year, last year, I went down to Preston because, having been a county veteran service officer in that area, I knew a lot of those who were interred in that facility, and I wanted to speak about them to make it personal. Same for Duluth. Went up and specifically during my speech, talked about my buddy from Panama and from Jordan. His name was Doug Babcock. Doug got out of the service just a little before me, and we lived here in the state together 25 years, never really connected in person, just on Facebook again. And one of those guys, I didn't know that he was struggling with his service. And he died just 3 days after age 50, basically because he had medicated himself for many years with alcohol and passed. So I talked about Doug yesterday to honor him and to honor his service and to pay tribute to him for all of my other brothers and sisters who couldn't be there to honor him. So
I think that's an interesting approach, you know, to, you know, there's obviously you want to go and support the different cemeteries that are part of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, but to have a good story, a reason, you know, someone to highlight, a story of service to highlight, I think is a really nice approach and important too, right? Because as I'd mentioned before, we want to keep talking about our service members. And if we can learn about an unfortunate death like you just described, maybe that'll help someone else to seek the help that that they might need.
Absolutely. And, you know, I got my comms team. They can write me a speech and I can sit up and read like a robot, but I think it's much more effective and much more personal to try to add that personalization piece to it. And like you said, share that story. And the most important thing, as we said earlier, is remembering.
Yeah, always remember.
Commissioner, I think we've got another unique situation in Minnesota when we were talking in the first hour about all the resources available to help our service members, families, and their veterans. But when we're here, and you as commissioner, it seems like in Minnesota, the governor's pulling together along with our elected representatives, along with the VA, along with the, you know, with county veteran service officers. Seems to me, from what I've seen in 15 years of doing Minnesota Military Radio and asking questions, we pull together pretty well here in Minnesota to take care of our veterans and their families and our service members. What's your observation?
I agree. You know, there's always more to be done and more work to do, but I say the same thing. I go to our national conference, which is all the commissioners of the other states, and I sit on several committees, and I say I don't learn a lot, but I seem to end up teaching a lot
sharing
to other states,
sharing
and giving them ideas about ways they can do things better. So it's great collaboration.
So from your view over at the MDVA, there's a whole lot of people pulling together to take care of whatever issues come up.
Absolutely. We can, you know, you see that County Veteran Service Officer and you'd be amazed at what directions there are and assistance available.
You know, Trent Dilks, his name was mentioned earlier, and Commissioner, you know, obviously we know we had the Vets Day on the Hill event. Trent always gives a powerful speech, and in the day of that speech, the budgets were released.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, there was a lot of, I don't want to say fighting, but maybe some strong words going on just following through the, you know, last several weeks because the budget, you know, the House was different than the Senate, and but finally, the two got together, and what we thought was going to be really a hit to our homeless program turned out to be funding at what the governor's request was. That's got to be a big relief for you as the commissioner.
Hey, absolutely. You know, that was really the biggest piece. You know, our operating budgets were going to be extremely hard hit. But yeah, our homeless program was going to be completely wiped out in essence. So thanks to events like Vets Day on the Hill and all the folks and veterans out there advocating for us, we turned things around. It was really unprecedented. I've never in all of my years known of us being called into the actual negotiations with the Speaker of the House and the Governor. We were part of that. But then we were also, due to the Governor's deal with the leadership in the legislature, we were brought into the conference committee hearings and actually had to work with both sides to agree on the final numbers and the final bills that would pass. And you know, the governor had secured the fact that I was also given sign off on that. I needed to sign off before that would move on, and he would agree with it as well. So in the end, we got it done. We had some nervous days, we had some long days and some long nights, but once again, Minnesota and its legislature are supporting veterans.
Yeah, I think the important thing to remember there is that, one, there's the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, obviously the federal VA, two separate entities. So the funding that the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is getting, obviously we need an operating budget, right? You have to be able to fund and support the veterans' homes, the cemeteries, all of those things. But there are also some state benefits that that money supports our veterans in need. And when a budget may be reduced, many of our veterans that are in financial crisis wouldn't be able to get some of the support they would otherwise get.
Absolutely. State Soldiers Assistance Program, I think we have about $5 million in a year we have allocated to that. And, you know, if we hadn't got what we asked for, it would probably required us to reduce at least the amount of the benefits we were providing on things like dental and optical and our veterans relief grants. So it's fabulous that we're now not looking at that. We were also given something pretty unique. We were given rollover authority in the larger state government bill, which will allow us to carry any money we did have left over for this year all the way up to 2031. So that's going to provide some relief for us as well. So very, very thankful to the governor and to the legislature for supporting us this year.
A little extra flexibility is always helpful. And Commissioner, sounds like a really positive message here this morning. The things that we thought were not going too well kind of turned out okay and
flipped overnight, and very happy for that.
And Doug, I got a question for you as we're trying to close out this hour. A lot of the listeners today on the live show for 3 hours may or may not be familiar with Minnesota Military Radio. We've been on the air for 15 years. We're heard on almost 70 radio stations all across the state. And one of the fun things that I did for 14 years in your seat was the opportunity to interview everybody about all of these resources available here in Minnesota and let all of our listeners all over Minnesota know where to go. And, of course, they're supposed to start with the County Veteran Service Officers because they make it their business to know the resources available.
Yeah, and I think that every guest that we have on the show when we talk about resources for our veterans, they will almost always refer to that County Veteran Service Officer as well, whether it's a state benefit for our veterans or obviously federal benefits for our veterans. The CVSO is just an invaluable resource to our Minnesota veterans because they have generally the most latest and greatest information about what might be needed or how they can assist our veterans in their time of need. Or if they're just looking for some simple things like, hey, I don't know how to get my discharge records. They can get help with that as well through that County Veteran Service Officer. So, yeah, an invaluable resource.
And for our listeners, you go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com on our About Us page. There's a whole list of the stations. And, of course, you can tune us in right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, Sunday mornings at 7, or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. You've heard that before.
I've heard that before. And, you know, Mr. Lyons, we said this in the opening, that this is the 15th year. So we're completing our 15th year of Minnesota Military Radio later on this fall. And it's been a wonderful experience to sit in this seat now as the primary host of the show. It's great to stay connected with the people I served with. Many of the guests are people I know, people I work for now.
And what do we got coming up in the final hour?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because in the next hour, we're going to actually bring in the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard. He's got a special guest with him all the way from Norway. So we'll have an opportunity to interview that person as well. And then Senator Amy Klobuchar is going to be calling in, and then we'll wrap up our third hour with Governor Tim Walz. So we got a packed show yet, and a full hour to go.
Commissioner, thanks for joining us today, and I hope the rest of your day looks like beautiful weather. So
thank you, Tom. Thanks, Doug. Yeah, I'll be at the Minneapolis Veterans Home for their ceremonies later this afternoon, so looking forward to it.
Hope the rest of your day is great, and don't forget 3 o'clock.
Thank you.
Remember our military minutes. Whatever you're doing, take a moment.
Take a moment and remember that a moment of silence is important. Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Commissioner. This special Memorial Day broadcast of Minnesota Military Radio is brought to you in part by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Federal Premium Ammunition. You can find more information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.